Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 132 of the MTB podcast, presented and hosted by Worldwide Cyclery. I'm Jared.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
In this episode, we discuss all things mountain bikes.
Wow.
Mountain bike podcast.
It's a mountain bike podcast.
Wow.
Including our thoughts and ride impressions on the new Yeti ASR.
Oh.
Yeti's coming back swinging with a full-fledged hardcore flagship cross-country bike. Been a while since they've had that, which is pretty rad. We also talk about the Outdoor Alliance, some super techie new suspension products, and some excellent listener questions ranging from bike FOMO to being mullet curious and everything in between. Mullet curious?
Yeah, Ted's mullet curious.
Our boy Ted.
That is right.
Shout out Ted. X Games Ted.
Shout out X Games Ted. Mullet curious.
Yeah, mullet curious. Aren't we all a little bit mullet curious, you know? I wonder often what Liam would look like with a mullet.
You should cut one. You're there.
Yeah,
you have long enough hair.
Yeah.
I thought we were actually talking about mullets, though, because you did actually have a mixed wheel bike.
I have had a mixed wheel bike. I've had a few
mixed wheel bikes.
Yeah, mullet bikes.
Mullet bikes.
But you can't say mullet.
Not to be confused with mullet bikes.
Yeah. That guy will.
Mixed wheel bikes.
That guy will email you.
Speaking about, you know what's funny?
He will email you.
If you go to South America, everything that we've learned, you know, in the modern world of bikes in North America is just a good 5 to 15 years behind in South America. So I actually had a conversation in Ecuador about 26-inch wheels.
Hmm.
And this guy's like, no, they just climb. They're so much better on the techie climbs. And I was just kind of thinking, I'm not actually even sure where to start in this conversation. I haven't ridden 26-inch wheels in so long. And to think what bike he was riding with 26-inch wheels and what he was comparing it to, you know, as in what 29er he rode or what 27.5 bike he rode. It's
that OG.
Wow, I don't know. I'm Gary just pretty Fisher removed from this 26-inch wheel conversation. Wow. It's been a while since I've had that.
Wow. What about the Gary Fisher 96er?
Whoa.
Yeah, 69er.
Was it 69 or 96?
I can't remember.
That was
90. Yeah, the one that had 20. It was before 27.5 existed.
Yeah, it was
29 front, 26. Rear. The original hardcore.
It was a hardtail too.
Mullet.
Yeah.
That would be actually a great comparison. Take like the most modern 26-inch bike we can find and put it up against the most modern 29-inch bike we can find.
Sounds like a fantastic YouTube video.
Yeah.
I would love to find the time and ambition to make one day.
Like, is 26 really not dead? Find out in this week's video.
It's not a bad idea.
Jared's spare time is going to be worldwide parodies. It's just...
That'd be good.
Spoofs on everything.
I think people eventually found out that all bikes are fun. Just kind of depends on your flavor for what you like to do with it most.
Right? I mean, there's still Rampage guys running like 24-inch rear wheels on their Rampage bikes.
Yeah, doing backflip 360s.
Yeah,
Only
like one or two guys, maybe.
Somebody did it. Only Remy Martin runs a 24-inch rear wheel, 24x3, and he's the only one.
Yeah.
Everyone's running some 26 rear 27.5 front mullets.
Uh-huh.
So like a mini mullet.
Yeah.
Or full 27.5.
Which would also be super fun, mini mullet.
Here's a PSA. When someone who's not a mountain biker, i.e. a road or gravel person, talks about mullets, they're talking about chain rings, right?
Yep.
Explain this. You're the closest to those spandex warriors, Liam, so explain this one for us. It's a good PSA because I was in that conversation once, and I was like, what are you talking about? You didn't put a smaller rear wheel on a gravel bike.
So SRAM calls it the axis mullet, which is you have drop bar shifters, axis drop bar shifters with a road basically crank set and a gravel-sized front chainring, yet you have a mountain bike rear derailleur mountain bike set. So you get like the axis 10 to 52 rear cassette with the axis XX1 axis derailleur, or now, like how mine is, you have transmission on the rear end, so 1052 transmission with a transmission derailleur, and then a gravel front chainring with road shifters up front. That is a SRAM axis mullet.
It's a shame they couldn't call it something else. It's just confusing.
It is confusing, especially because it's the other way, because you're talking about a larger rear cassette cog than the front chainring. So that's a party in the
back.
Back But business in the front?
Different party. Business in the front, which is also still regulation. It doesn't
make sense. I guess it kind of does make some sense, though.
If you put it like that, it makes a little bit of sense. But if you think about it,
like
small
you just proved it. Like, you just tried to talk it out, and you just proved why they called it that.
Yeah. But you want to know what does make sense? Zach's words of wisdom.
Yep, let's hear them.
I never lose. I only win or learn.
It's good.
I really like that one.
Did he actually say that, or did you just write that down? And
I'm a little suspicious. Because I asked him for some words of wisdom, and it took him a little bit. I saw him look up something on his computer, and he got back. And I said, did you actually? He said, I've heard that somewhere. And I said, we'll leave it at that. But, you know, some people were not thrilled with his words of wisdom last time, which was, if you can't work on bikes, then don't. Because that's his personal take on working on bikes.
I could see that could trigger some people to listen to this podcast.
And, you know, we like to empower people. And, like, you know, if you want to work on your bike, you should learn and do it. But
that's what we actually put 100%. For last week. But, words of wisdom?
Yeah. Oh. Well, because also, and then with some caveats, right? Like, he doesn't have the patience to work on his bike.
Yeah.
You know, it's he doesn't know what to do. Just doesn't have the patience to do it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
Or which side of the Allen wrench to use.
That's another fun story.
You know that one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I just, he's similar to our good buddy FBI Matt, who runs the B Team Racing Team. It's the same thing. I've seen Matt so many times attempt to work on his bike and cause so much more problem, stress, anxiety, cost.
Yeah.
For not only him, but us, his family, his apartment complex,
and it's
his
worse.
Carpet covered in brake fluid, all these things. He should just. You just not do it.
Yeah.
So,
and it's compounded by the fact that he crashes so much and breaks so many things, which I just saw in the comments on our recent Instagram post that he challenged you to a race down suicide that he claims to have the KOM on.
I'll happily race.
I mean, I'll give him an award for the biggest troll.
Yeah, he is.
He's commenting, replying to himself, the B Team account and stuff.
There is not
be busy at work.
There is not. A pink bike article or important post in the mountain bike industry on any social media or website that doesn't have one of his comments on
we're
it. Right
you're looking at it. Well, we're on a call and he looked at a top comment and then his reply was next to the top comment.
Yeah. He's a super fan, dude. It's awesome.
You're a great guy, Matt.
Great passion, not the best, just not mechanically inclined.
But, you know, he is willing to, you know, he's like, hey, am I doing this wrong? Am I, you know, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And yeah, you are.
Yeah.
You are doing it wrong.
He definitely never loses. He just learns.
Yeah. Hopefully he learns.
Yeah.
Never loses.
All right. Daniel's fun fact.
Daniel's fun fact. Wearing a tie can reduce blood flow to the brain by 7.5% on average. You're shaking your head over there. You don't even wear a tie ever. How would you know?
So have you ever worn a tie?
I'm sure for a wedding or two here and there.
I don't know if I have.
Ever? Even to the most formal of weddings or events?
I take that back. I think I did wear a tie to a formal wedding. My tattoo artist lent me a suit. So it was
I actually remember trying to put on a tie, watching a YouTube video for the last wedding I went to and got frustrated and just threw it in the corner and just didn't wear it.
But I also might have not put on a tie and just worn a suit and a shirt and just ran with it.
Because for some, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You put your best foot forward, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of putting your best foot forward, how about our fantastic testimonial?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, just wanted to say that I've really been enjoying your show. Others just have an air of elitism, but this one has a much more down-to-earth feel from a bunch of easygoing douches. Referring to Jeff's calling from the recent episode. Keep up the good work in helping all riders feel inclusive with your Q&As and wisdom. I love that. What a great email.
So
that was.
That was nice, and we appreciate that. And we also really appreciate if you leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Ooh.
Like that plug?
Yeah.
But more importantly, so I was reading a couple comments on our YouTube video.
Oh, you're supposed to never read the comments.
I know, but they're so funny. And
I love the comments.
They're so funny. So
do you read them all?
So,
oh, yeah, I reply to them too, and I like them and heart them, whatever.
That the last podcast where I read off that testimonial where the guy called me a douche waffle.
Did he reply?
Then... Well, one of the comments was, so I also realized before I read that, I'd mentioned that I was drinking Johnny Walker Blue Label with frozen strawberries.
Totally.
And then so somebody commented, drinking Johnny Walker Blue Label with frozen strawberries and ice makes you a douche waffle.
Yeah.
And I just thought, touche, damn it.
Yeah. Like,
there's totally this totally right. is.
Yeah. My dad would lose it if you're drinking Johnny Walker with anything else in there but ice.
Yeah. For the record, I'm not a good cocktail maker. We certainly did not pay for that Blue Label. No. Someone else said, you need to lower your prices. Yeah, like, no. I would never have bought Blue Label.
Almost all of our liquor is gifts from customers.
Yeah.
They come into the store. They see our bar. They know how to, you know, appease us, and they give us some booze.
Yeah.
And yeah, come to think of it, my cocktail ingredients consist of the free booze we get and the things we have in the refrigerator here, which is mostly just frozen fruit and ice cubes. And I do realize how offensive that could be to people who are into mixology or just
a mixologist.
People who should respect fine spirits, unlike I do. I just mix them with frozen fruit.
No but regard.
What about this one? What about the blueberries and the...
Blueberries and rye.
What is this?
Pikesville?
Pikesville rye?
Jared's.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's a proper way to drink it, but...
Neat.
Well, you know, it takes a while, right? Like, you don't just start drinking whiskey straight from the get-go, you know? I mean...
I just like everything cold. Like, if this was in the freezer first, I wouldn't have used ice cubes.
Yeah, so people like a little bit of water, ice in there, whatever, you know? Like, we had Joe, you know, the Colorado kid on the podcast. He said, you know what? As tempting as it is to be like... You know, be like, don't drink it like this. You got to drink it like this. You just let people do what they want. You know, let them drink it with the ice, the water, whatever. Yeah.
It's kind of like people who don't have the same brand front tire and rear tire.
Yeah.
Ugh.
We're okay with that. Although it might.
Time, but we're okay with it. Like,
we might kindly yank their chain a little about
it.
But,
we don't really care.
But no, we don't really care.
We don't really care.
So just like hopefully people don't care that I poured a bunch of Blue Label over frozen strawberries.
Which, for the record, doesn't really alter the flavor at all.
Because they're frozen and they don't thaw.
And you don't muddle them or anything. It's literally just berries. Yeah. It's literally just more ice.
I just do that
almost.
So when I'm done with a drink, I can just eat the fruit after.
Yeah, and then it's like infused with the whiskey or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of things we've been enjoying, how about the bikes and rides and other things we've been enjoying lately? You haven't really been riding much bikes. You've been gone.
I haven't. I was on a fairly long trip. A friend of mine puts on these adventure travel trips for entrepreneurs. So I was down in Ecuador. I summited this active volcano called Cotopaxi, which is almost 20,000 feet. So that was all on foot. That was a crazy wild time. I don't really know if I want to do much mountaineering anymore after that experience because it was brutal. I did actually ride mountain bikes there. Yeah, the lodge we were staying at had some rental bikes.
Oh,
cruised
cool.
around in the Cotopaxi National Park.
Sick.
On a good old 26er. Hey, I have ridden a 26er.
Nice.
Like, come to think of it.
What was Foley it? Or hardtail?
I don't even know. I think it might have been a Bulls or something.
He doesn't even know if it was a Foley or a hardtail.
Oh, no. It was a hardtail, but I thought the
Bulls
brand.
Is like super Euro. They make
it's
some
a German
XC
brand,
bikes.
Right?
Yeah, some XC bikes yeah. still.
It was
like
some Euro
World
brand
Cup.
That I didn't even recognize.
Bulls, like horns?
Yeah, it's a bike brand. I think it's a German bike brand.
Oh.
It's like Ghost, kind of, before Ghost got bought by REI.
Ghost Bulls.
Yeah.
About us. Bulls. It's a bike brand.
That's pretty
it's not
cool.
Not very
though.
Common here.
No,
yeah, it was sweet.
XTR, you know.
No, it was definitely not the quality of bike that I'm used to, but I still had a good time.
Nice.
And it was a good trip. But I have come back now just extremely anxious and excited to build up this Revel El Jefe.
Oof.
With the rigid fork, titanium bike, carbon rigid fork.
It's going to be sweet.
It's just going to be a fun adventure bike.
Totally.
I'm looking forward to that. So, I don't know. Ever since I rode yours, I was like, man, that is a really, really fun bike to have.
Super fun.
I just need to put that in the quiver, and I'm really looking forward to that. So,
yeah. And it's like the kind of bike that doesn't really ever like become obsolete, right? It's just kind of rigid, hardtail, like going to always be fun every time you hop on it.
Yeah.
You know?
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Just always going to have a good, you always have a ride you can do, commute with it, ride it wherever.
Yeah.
Just always a good, fun bike to have.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. What have you been riding, Jared?
Well, it's funny you ask. I actually put a couple rides in on the ASR. It was super fun. I did a big ride, like on a few of our, I put together a few of our trail systems. And that thing is really fun, man. I don't know. I haven't really ridden like a pretty gnarly, like hardcore XC bike like that. Maybe ever.
Ever.
That's probably the most hardcore XC bike I've ever ridden, honestly.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't really had one here.
It's
like,
still,
that hardcore.
It's very modern though.
Yeah.
Like it's still you say, very modern, you say right? hardcore, but like hardcore is like 70 degree head tube angle.
Right. Well, I mean, like you hardcore, know? Like weight weenie, like 23 yeah. pound, whatever, like
single pivot.
Single, kinda, yeah. Like yeah.
performance
light.
Driven.
It was the
yes.
lightest full suspension bike you've ridden in
probably
maybe ever.
Probably ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was definitely very interesting. And like the more I rode it, just the more I kind of got along with it. And yeah, it just has like, I don't know.
Were you wearing very spandex?
You know, I thought about it. I was not wearing spandex, but I did swap the cockpit out because it had like 740 mil bar and like a 55 mil stem. And I was like, I'm going to put the Trail One cockpit on there. And it was like super fun, like downcountry bike after that. So, but yeah, it's still definitely very like, you know, very interesting. Just like not, obviously not planted in like I'm used to like my riding Forbidden Druid, you know, it's like complete opposite.
Yeah, bike.
I'm like, okay, I dropped 10 pounds off this bike, put super fast tires and like little brakes and then go ride it. Like, you know, but yeah, it was super cool and fun. And, I don't know, Liam, what do you think about that bike?
Yeah, I mean, very similar to what you're saying. It is very light. It's nimble. It's kind of like a springboard uphill. It just wants to, like, spring you forward. You know, and then I did some back-to-back riding on the ASR back-to-back with my current Ranger, which is pretty polar opposites as far as, like, rear suspension systems go, right?
For sure.
ADSR runs a pretty standard cross country. What's standard for cross country now? Single pivot flex day. And then the Ranger has the CBF, which, you know, just hugs every inch of the trail.
Yeah.
So doing back to back was pretty fun on the two. Cause like every con one has is the pro for the other.
Yeah.
You know, one's a little heavier, one's really light. One has amazing traction, one kind of skips around.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of fun on it. And I think I'm just personally not a huge fan of the twist remote lockout.
Same.
Mostly because I don't like using the grips that it comes with.
Yeah.
I'm very used to my Trail One grips and I like using those. So I think once you get one set up with your preference, kind of like what you said, you swap the cockpit out. Mm-hmm. I even put my cockpit on there, which happens to be 55 mil stem, 740 bar, but just the sweeping kind of angle that I like that I'm used to already. So I put that on there and it, you know, felt pretty good, but yeah, it's a fun bike. Yeah. Definitely has me thinking for, you know, I don't know.
Future endeavors.
Maybe. Full-fledged cross-country machine. So a couple highlights. It is 120 mil for the fork travel, 115 millimeters of travel for the frame, 66.5 degree head tube angle, 75.5 degree seat tube angle. Goes from an extra small to an extra large. Suspension lockout frame routing. Optional custom chain guide. Threaded BB, 30 to 36 tooth chainring compatibility, configurable cable routing ports, two mainframe water bottles, and an integrated rear mud fender.
Ooh.
It is one light, simple, clean, elegant looking bike that even has the, what is it, the Ultimate, which is a wireless frame only.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No cables on that one.
That's pretty cool.
So the Ultimate, which we can also talk about, comes with the new RockShox flight attendant. So you get all the remote lockouts without the cable and the twist lock.
RockShox SID flight attendant.
Flight attendant XC, I think is what they're calling it. Flight attendant.
Flight attendant XC comes with flight attendant mounted on a SID fork and SID lux rear shock. But yeah, the frame does not have any cable ports or routing for a dropper post cable or remote lockouts.
Or a...
Just the Ultimate frame. All the other ones do.
Or shifter. Or no, I guess that goes on the other side, right?
Yeah, I guess. Or shifter, but it doesn't have it. It's only a rear brake.
Yeah.
Only has a rear brake routing option, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah. Super sleek.
And it also it has a special paint job on it as well. It shaves almost 200 grams off the other frame.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's almost half a pound.
That is pretty wild.
That is almost half a pound. You're good at math, Jeff.
It's a good thing. Somehow we're still in business because of that.
So, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I'm interested to see more bikes coming with that, like, sleek, wireless only. Didn't the new Specialized also have that option?
I don't know. I don't know. The S-Works, maybe?
I kind of feel as if cross-country bikes. Yeah, this new generation, which is, you know, in my eyes, like this modern Yeti 115 mil travel, 120 fork, completely automated electronic flight attendant suspension, good geo. These XC bikes have come a really long way. They're they're still crazy light, but they're a lot more capable, usable. They're super technologically advanced. Like, they're just rad bikes. Whereas, you know, you go 10 years back, a full-fledged XC race machine was like useless. Like, you might as well put ride a road bike on the trails at that point. So even when they've really come a long way.
Totally.
My last XC race bike was a Scott Spark full suspension, I think two or three generations Spark ago. And that thing was still pretty scary. And that was like on the pushing edge of like, I think it had a 69 degree head tube angle where everything else had a 71.
That's crazy.
You know, like, it was capable, right?
It's unreal. Yeah. How did they not figure this out earlier? Like, so make it a little bit slacker.
Like 120 millimeter stems and 720 wide bars right? on. They were like, so bad.
The geo of this ASR out? Was the same as an enduro bike back then. So
yeah.
Like, yeah. They're still figuring it all out, but.
Crazy.
Yeah. I think this ASR will be the Epic Evo Killer.
Yeah.
I think it's just a good lightweight machine that, you know, isn't from the big three, which kind of dominate that lightweight XC crowd often.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you want an unbelievably light, fast, efficient cross-country race machine of a bike, this is incredible.
Our
flagship option.
Demo, media bike demo, weighs with XO1 transmission, weighs 23.5 pounds.
It's insane.
I believe that's without pedals, but
yeah,
that's not even the last drivetrain you can get.
That is light.
You can still get a lighter drivetrain.
Yeah.
So.
Super impressive. Great time.
Yeah.
And I love the direction it's going with these bikes. Like, and kind of like I said in the video, like having that slack geometry, you can ride it anywhere. Like you don't have to be like, well, I got to stick to this trail because I'm going to die if I go down the gnarly one. Like,
yeah,
You could have fun, you know, reasonably on a gnarly trail on it.
We ride downhill trails on our cross country bikes almost every weekend.
Yeah. So like you said, you would never want to do that on your, you know, Scott Spark or whatever.
10 years ago. No.
Yeah.
I didn't have a dropper.
Hell no.
Useless.
I didn't even have a dropper. Droppers weren't even like a thing a cross country person ran 10 years ago.
Yeah. It didn't exist.
Yeah.
But yeah, really like
speaking of the video, if you do want to see this bike in action, we do have a YouTube video where you can check it out. Yeti ASR.
YouTube video.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
All right. Something I wanted to talk about, which has recently come to my attention, is a NGO, which means non-governmental organization. Which I'm sure some people that are listening are very familiar with that, and other people have no idea what that is. But essentially, it's a
I thought I meant no, get out.
Essentially, it's an organization of people trying to, I don't know, work with the government to push things through.
Like lobbyists?
I'm not even really sure. No, I don't really know if they'd be considered lobbyists. I don't really know. I'm not that versed in this. It's an NGO. Did a quick little chat GPTing on this one. And, you know, that's where we are.
Like the IMBA.
I am pretty far.
An NGO?
I am pretty far removed from understanding all of the layers of bureaucracy in the United States government. And I think one of the reasons I am lucky to be standing in the shoes of a successful entrepreneur is because I grew up on the other side of the country from Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my two cents on things like regulatory capture and whatnot. Anyways.
Wow.
Outdoor Alliance. Their mission. Unite the voices of paddlers, mountain bikers, hikers, climbers, surfers, and backcountry skiers to conserve America's public lands and protect human-powered outdoor experiences, which is pretty cool. I'd seen them before because they'd partnered with OnX, you know, the mapping, the mapping apps. They have several mapping apps. They did a partnership with them. And that's how I'd originally learned about them. But actually, FBI Matt, what do you know? Guy who lives in DC, works for the FBI, went on a mountain bike ride with the owner of Outdoor Alliance and put us in touch. And I just learned more about what the Outdoor Alliance does. They work with the IMBA a lot. And what they're doing is basically organizing people to try and make things happen in the world of trails. So helping trails get built, helping trails get maintained. In this latest one they're doing, helping connect long distance mountain bike trails point to point. Pretty cool. So
I love the idea of that.
Anyways, Google up Outdoor Alliance. They have a button on the top of their website that just says take action. And they have these various different projects that they're working on. And they make it really simple for you to just click. And a lot of times all you got to do for these things is they have these sort of boilerplate things that just emails over to the Congress people to say, hey, please push this through. Please push this through. And apparently it's helpful. So if you care about doing nice things for the trails nationwide,
yeah.
Go take a look at it.
We'll put a link in the show notes. How about that?
Link in the show notes to Outdoor Alliance.
This guy.
But I don't know. It's pretty cool. Like, again, this stuff is having organizations that are sort of working with local governments to make this stuff happen is it's pretty nothing we're really all that familiar with.
Yeah, and we're not
doing it. I'm glad it happens.
Glad somebody's doing it because I don't like dealing with politics.
You know, yeah, no way. Funny enough.
We dipped our toe in it locally and it is literally politics. Like, it was crazy. I was like, whoa.
It actually gets me fired up thinking about it. We should probably just change topics.
Yeah. Well, I do. Let's end it on a positive note.
Yeah.
On the Backbone Trail somewhere, there is actually a plaque that describes how, funny enough, the Governator, good old Arnold there,
yes.
He actually was one of the people, according to this plaque on the Backbone Trail, responsible for connecting all of that.
That's amazing.
So it wasn't all connected until he was the Governator.
Legally, and, right?
Yeah. I guess. Because it was all connected. I don't know. I can't remember.
Connected for years.
Well, if we could just ride bikes on the whole thing, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Work on that one, Arnold.
We need the Governator back, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. You want to ride the bikes?
I actually saw Terminator 2 in the background. We had the plane somewhere where we were. And have you remember those movies?
They're
insane.
Yeah.
They're bad. They're
early
good. They're
CGI,
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, if you're bored this weekend, go ahead and watch Terminator 2. I think everyone will be entertained. All right. Quick intermission and then listener questions.
Ooh, yeah.
Bum, 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 bum.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Just a quick note to let you guys all know that Kettle has released a fantastic new mountain bike glove. We call it the Vent Touch Glove. It is a super lightweight, ventilated glove, amazing for the hot weather. And we call it the Touch Glove because it has incredible touchscreen capability, literally amazing. You can type with this thing on. It's not just the two little tiny threads that are touch sensitive, but the entire glove is. So it works fantastic. I'd highly recommend it for a $35 glove. This thing is world class, and I would really suggest, if you're a mountain biker and you want a good set of gloves, to check it out. Last but not least, the Canyon Chamois Short Liner. We took our famous chamois from our Canyon bib, and we basically just made a short version. So if you don't want an entire bib, you can just get some liner shorts to put underneath your shorts with an amazing quad-layer Italian chamois. And that's all I got. Just want to make sure you mountain bikers are comfortable out there and you have no tank pain.
And now, back to the show.
Way off topic. Did you guys know T-Pain is an amazing singer?
Yes.
Did you know that before he did his recent concert 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Or a month ago?
Do you see the video of him singing the Metallica?
And War really Pigs?
Insane.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen,
anyone
if you
likes
have not
music,
seen it,
yeah.
You got to
see it. Is it on YouTube?
Yeah.
All right, I'll queue it up for later.
Yeah.
It's back to mountain bikes.
Back to mountain bikes.
And
we got listener questions. We got a bunch of really good ones. I just put a new chain on my bike. Do you remove the sticky factory grease from a brand new chain?
Yes.
I use dry lube. Can I put it on top for the factory grease? Liam? Do you remove the sticky factory grease from a brand new chain? I use dry lube. Can I put it on top of the factory grease? I had to reiterate because he interrupted.
I think we both did. Well, Liam and I don't agree on this.
Well, I ride it at least probably once and then I degrease it. And then I don't know if that's like a faux pas, but that's what I do.
Faux pas?
I think that...
Faux pas.
Keep it in check.
Keeping it on the rails. What
I think this
say?
Factory sticky grease makes this bike so quiet.
Yeah.
And it makes the chain so quiet. Still shifts fine. Although it does leave basically Elmer's glue all over your chainring and cassette and pulley wheels.
Mm.
But it's worth it for a solid 30 miles of super quiet chain.
William's shaking his head already.
If you're willing to then degrease everything and then re-clean everything
else. So
I leave it on for like
start.
20 to 30 miles and I enjoy the silence and then I degrease everything.
You don't degrease...
All right,
Jack,
all right.
I do the degreasing, claiming of this Elmer's glue.
This is where there's disagreement.
And then he has it taken care of.
I prefer to have my bikes taken care of, and I don't do it myself.
Yes,
so.
I degrease my chains immediately out of the package.
Wow.
I have a spoke tool hanging from the rack right next to my workstation.
Dip it in there?
No, I hang the open link on it, and then I spray the degreaser down, and I wipe it down like five times before I put it on the bike. And that's still not even fully degreased. You really should submerge it and do all that.
I was going to say,
I
don't do that.
I don't want to get down that rabbit hole yet, but I have started after a couple podcasts ago. But
interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
I do degrease it, and then I start just by applying squirt.
You're going to get one of those little chain waxing crock pots?
Probably, yeah.
You know the boys on the Pennsylvania store are doing that?
Really?
With the Silk
McCluskey
one?
And Aiden?
Yeah,
hardcore.
Wow.
All into it.
Yeah.
They've taken it really far.
I mean,
wintertime.
Okay,
here's
northeast. Here's, yeah, true. Winter.
More
exactly.
I'm like, more time to do that.
I'm like, doing it just to do
I'm
it.
Trying to squeeze in 10 hours a week on the bike. I don't have time to, like, wax my chains.
Spend an hour and a half a week working on chains.
But I mean, in that case, it does really prolong your drivetrain, saving you money in the long run.
True.
Less wear, more efficiency, blah, 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 blah. But my answer is yes, I do. Jeff does not remove it because he likes the quietness.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to deal with the mess that it leaves.
So quiet.
Yeah. It is nice.
So ride quiet. SRAM transmission.
Well, that's
and
true.
And it'll be it just as quiet.
With SRAM transmission, it's irrelevant because it's already that quiet. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And then once Liam's waxing his chain seal, you can have him wax yours.
Well, that is really like if you're going to wax one chain, you might as well wax three or four.
True.
I'm pretty sure it's like the same process.
And then you can just, yeah, that makes sense, I guess. If you have multiple chains, you can just throw it on. Yeah. Okay, Jeff, this is a perfect question for you.
Yeah.
Can you please explain the Peach Fuzz Club on the website?
Only URL nerds will know that one.
I think you can access that.
Yeah, you just go to the collection. If you scroll down on the product page, you can see all right, collections all right. of products.
Okay.
You can click on the Peach Fuzz Club.
Here's the deal. It's quite complicated so on the World Wide Cyclery website, we have almost 20,000 SKUs. So it's a big product catalog. There's a lot of stuff that happens in the back end in terms of merchandising, data feeds, and just organizing all of these products. And in our industry, there's certain products where the brands allow the use of discount codes, and then there's certain brands who forbid it, except for maybe a certain windows of time where they allow it. And we were essentially trying to find an easy way to categorize all of the SKUs in one large batch that are discountable. And at first, when we were testing all of this, we had just put DIS okay for discount okay. And then it worked and we found a workaround to this whole thing. And then we realized we couldn't keep it like that. And I said, why don't we just name it Peach Fuzz Club? So I just named it Peach Fuzz Club. And I don't know how somebody found that. I mean, it's a bit buried, but if you dig around and you look at the very bottom of any product page, you can see the different collections it's in and the URLs to that. So it's a bit buried. So I'm props to you for finding that. But essentially, the Peach Fuzz Club collection are all of the SKUs that discount codes do work on.
I think maybe they're also wondering how you got the name. Like that just popped into
your head. Jeff full just of things pops like in that. Random names.
He's like, yeah. I am the king of the Peach Fuzz Club, so I'm going to name this the Peach Fuzz Club.
Yeah. We also have an entity that owns this building that's called Cranberry Bapples. Where did that name come from? Don't know. Somewhere in the back of my head.
There's another one, too. Right?
There's another one?
Another funny like.
Oh, there was going to be a Mordor Land Holding Co.
Yeah, Mordor Land Holding
I haven't made that one yet. But
oh, that, another that one doesn't I exist?
Not yet. That's the next one.
That's
I have
awesome.
In the queue.
That's
so,
awesome.
That's it. I'm surprised somebody found that. I don't know. I always thought Peach Fuzz was a funny word, and I just thought Peach Fuzz Club was funny. I just typed it in. So
yeah, it is funny.
Yeah.
You're right.
There's a few random things like that on the website.
That's been around a long time, too.
It's been around for like ages.
Eight, I remember
years,
when you
yeah.
went,
7 years.
Oh, I thought you did
6, 7 years. Yeah.
Somewhat.
Peach Fuzz Club. Yeah, there's also, there's still to this day, you can buy kazoos on our website and sporks from when we did that April Fool's prank in 2019.
That URL
Worldwide Cutlery and Kazoos. I think, I can't remember if I renewed that domain, worldwidecutleryandkazoos.com, which I just had forwarded to the collection page of the Cutlery and Kazoos on the Worldwide Cutlery website. So there's a lot of little weird Easter eggs hidden around the website, but if you want, buy a kazoo next time you're there.
There you go.
Smelted gold.
Liam, do you want to read the next one?
Yeah. First, thank you for the podcast. With 3 feet of snow, we kind of all live vicariously through you. I've got two questions. I ride a 2021 Transition Patrol XT build, and I love it, but I'm having FOMO for a lot of other bikes like a Yeti 160 or Firebird. How do you deal with FOMO? Well, I don't. I just give in, and I just get the bike I want. Sorry.
That kind of reminds me. Remember that old, I can't remember what it was advertising for, but it was that guy and he's like, I have a house. I have a ride on Lonemar and I'm in debt up to my eyeballs.
Yeah.
Remember that one? It reminds me of that.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
I'm in a lucky position that I can just, you know, sell one and buy another. But, sometimes I do have FOMO and I try to just really ride my bike and tell myself how much I love it.
Yeah.
And convince yourself otherwise.
You know, Liam, that's exactly what I do because I think...
You know, you're like no better than me.
Okay. But I, you know, you see me, I get bike fever. And then I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to go for a bike ride. And then I'm just like out there hooting and hollering. And I'm like, I love this bike. Like, I don't need to change it. It's so fun. And then you just remind yourself, I'm just going to be doing the same thing on a different bike. I'm still going to have fun. It's literally just what you want to look at and, like, you know, baby and pamper at the end of the day, I guess. But with that said, I have had my eyes. I'm just kidding. But, you know, that's how I deal with it. And then, you know, maybe be reasonable about it. Like, right? Like, you know, maybe like every year or two you consider a new bike if you can afford it, if it's in the, you know, it's in the means, right?
I have, for the most part, been hanging on to my bikes longer these days.
You have been. You've had the Rail T9 for at least a year.
It's over a year. Sedona. Yeah. Wow. It was his first ride.
Yeah. There you go. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. I had my 120 for 10 months.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Had the Druid for almost a year.
Yeah.
And I had the S140 for almost a year.
That's pretty good.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Working on myself.
That's good.
All right. He had a second part of his questions. What other activities do y'all enjoy? I love golf. That's him saying that.
Yeah.
That's not me saying I love golf. I've never swung a club in my life.
Just give it a try, dude.
I know. You'd probably be good at it.
Putt-putt. It's fun. It's probably what he's talking about.
You get good hand-eye coordination, probably.
Yeah, but it's just, it's a lot of time.
Yeah.
Like, if I have that much time, I'm going to go ride my bike.
Yeah, that's usually how I feel about mostly. It, too.
Or I'll work out.
What other activities do y'all enjoy? I mean, I actually do like to play golf also. I just don't really play golf because I ride my bike most of the time. I do an annual golf tournament with some friends out in Palm Springs every year. I guess that's what annual means. But... you know, I'm kind of drawing a blank. I guess hiking is kind of fun every once in a while.
I like taking film photography photos.
Photography is a passion.
Recently, well, I kind of do this like almost every year. I basically build out my van with a new configuration. So I'm in the midst of building out a current van, which is going really well.
Looks pretty sick. I saw it the other day.
Just taking some time with the trying to ride bike and train part and the rain we've had since I work on it here in the outside and I don't have an indoor space to work on it.
What about you, Jeff?
What are other activities? Well, I did go on a golf phase once.
You did?
I think golf is fun.
I think that'd also be something you'd be great at.
Yeah, I realized golf, I never cared for it. And then I went to the driving range a few times and I was like, oh, this is actually pretty fun. And then it's really just a matter of who you go with.
Yeah.
You go with people that have the same attitude as you and you just cruise around a par three course and drink beers and goof off. That's actually a really fun spend half of your Sunday.
Yeah.
And then the second half, you know, laying in your backyard getting a sunburn because you're hungover.
at 2 p.m.
That sounds like a personal experience.
It is. But I haven't played much golf in a while. I mostly run. I enjoy running, in particular trail running. I definitely like hiking. I'm also just a map nerd, so I study maps. Mm. I read things. I don't know. What else do I do? Snowboard. I've been taking up snowboarding a lot more the last few winters. I had a lot of fun snowboarding so far this season and last season, so I kind of doubled down on it because it's just good wintertime activity to do. Enjoy it. So
same.
I don't know. These days I'm trying to find things that are I can put together trips with friends and enjoy and have like mix in good outdoor fun whilst hanging out with good friends and creating good memories. So trying to focus on that more these
days. Amen, brother. Yeah. You know what else is really fun is stand-up paddleboarding. I know some people probably find it boring, but I don't know. It's probably too slow for you.
Well, no, just it's like beef with surfers, you know?
Oh.
Well, you just go where there's no surfers.
You can go on
a lake.
That's
like what I do when I take my sea kayak out there.
A lake or a river.
No surfers.
And some people are probably like, oh, you stood the paddleboard in a lake. Isn't that boring? And it's like, well, it's just kind of like it's fun to be out there on the water.
It's the funnest hiking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're just slow,
getting outside in the sun.
Outside
activity. Peaceful nature.
Drink a beer.
Nice detox from the fast digital paced lives that we all live.
Yeah. Throw a cooler on the back. Go post up.
Yeah. I also really like camping on usually a biking trip, but going somewhere where there's no service.
Yeah.
And your only thing to do that day is have fun activities and make dinner.
Amen, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of fun things.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
There's a lot of talk about seat tube angle, but there's something I don't understand. I was about to do the whole thing in a southern accent.
You couldn't do it.
I know. Wouldn't a rider position their saddle fore and aft for correct knee positioning, possibly making a seat tube angle change irrelevant? For example, current trends dictate steeper seat tube angles, which I imagine move saddles forward closer to the cranks. Bike Fit advice says to keep your kneecap above the ball of your foot when at the 3/9 o'clock position. So wouldn't the rider just slide the seat further forward? Further rearward for a steeper seat tube. Oh, I think they mean forward.
Yeah.
And be in the same place as a slacker seat tube. That was kind of confusing. Thanks for explaining. Love the show, the shop, and my kettle gear. Cheers.
Essentially, yes, you can make up for like a 1 or 2 degree seat tube angle change by sliding your rails forward or back. But if it is really slack, and now you also have to think about actual and effective, which mm-hmm. is really confusing. I just wish people would stick to one yeah. and only use one, and actual was the one that everyone actually used. Nice. 'Cause those can differ. Yeah, I mean,
you can't move the seat far enough forward. Yeah. Essentially,
right?
Like, so if you yeah. have a 71,
you
could actual,
have it. So you only have so much room. You have what, maybe like 1.5 inches to slide the saddle yeah, on those rails, exactly. and you can slam it all the way forward, and it looks ridiculous. And you still don't have the seat tube angle you yeah. want, which is why bike brands are realizing, like, oh, we need to just steepen yeah. the seat tube.
Someone whose yeah. bike you'll notice that is Ben Hildred. He is like 6'4", rides for Santa Cruz and SRAM. Mm-hmm. And he's got a crazy forward, like downward saddle position, but he has to because he's like 6'4". Mm-hmm. You know, and even with this modern steep seat tube angle, it's still way far back kind of where he wants it. But like you compare, you know, a couple year old, what's a bike with like, I mean, let's say the original Rascal, mm-hmm. you know, that had a slacker actual seat tube angle compared to your Druid. Mm-hmm. There's no way you're going to make up that difference just by sliding your seat on the rails.
The answer is you can adjust the seat forward to yeah. compensate, but you can't do it enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. You could do 1 to 2 degree probably, you know, fudging, yeah. but like 71 to 78, like your Druid has, there's no way you're making that up.
Yeah. And it also depends on how long your seat post and your dropper is, right? Like that's going to exacerbate the seat tube angle even more.
Exactly. Which is why tall people have the issue.
Right. And then they're so far over the back of the tire, mm-hmm. you know, that it's like, so that's why they're, you know, compensating for, you know, size specific chainstays and stuff like that, right?
Yep.
So there you go. So there's only so much you can do in the long story short.
Yeah. Well, we got X Games Ted over here.
Jeff, you want to read what X Games Ted has for us?
So you want me to read the ChatGPT cleaned up, shorter, concise version or Ted's actual question?
Well, can you play the ChatGPT version and see if that works? Yeah. So X Games Ted, he's a buddy of ours. went on a couple trips with us. He wrote an extremely long question that we wanted to shorten up. So we punched it into ChatGPT, which we can do because he's our friend. And now ChatGPT is going to read it to you.
Ted here, considering upgrading from a Santa Cruz Tallboy V4 to either a V5 or a Santa Cruz 5010 mullet. I enjoy XC-style riding with technical climbs on South Central PA trails, favoring a bike that's efficient yet can handle challenging downhills and jumps. Curious about the trade-offs between a 29er and a mullet, especially in terms of climbing traction and ride efficiency, given my preference for trailside maneuvers and obstacle crossing. Also wondering if at 50, opting for a mullet bike might seem like an attempt to appear youthful. Looking for your professional opinion on these points.
Oh, that's funny. You know, it kind of sounds like him. I'm just kidding. Well, maybe a little bit. But, you forgot the end. P.S. tell Bean I said, ps-ps-ps.
I didn't copy and paste that part into ChatGPT.
No.
That'd be funny to have you read it. I like how ChatGPT stutters like a real human too.
Right?
Yeah, I was like, it pauses, it says ums and ahs. Yeah. That's amazing.
Weird.
You can just converse with the app. So like you hit the little headphone thing and you can just have a conversation.
You know Jeff does this when he's bored in a third world country.
Dude, I do it. Like I do it here.
Yeah, he does it here when he's bored. Well, you know, Ted, seeing your sick style and your passion for trailside jibs. I mean, I think he's got the perfect bike already. I mean, I don't know, personally.
Santa Cruz 50,010?
No, the tall boy. He's thinking about the 5010.
Yeah.
But I think that he would actually not like the part of mullet being a little bit less efficient. And, I mean, just that in general. I think that would be a big downside for him.
It's a touch less efficient, especially on East Coast where you're climbing a bunch of, like, kind of janky stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not, like,
there's
very
smooth. Just so much flat, rough stuff.
Yeah, that east. Too.
There's just up, like up flat or down, creek right? beds too, yeah. where it's just like all rooty and rocky and not that steep. It's really nice to have 29-inch wheels in those scenarios.
But I would say if you're in the market for a second bike and you could differentiate your, you know, your portfolio, your quiver, if you will, mm-hmm. and you could go for a longer travel bike in the mullet configuration if you're still so mullet curious.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Because I think that, yes, while a 5010, super fun bike, I just don't think it would suit his like preferences as much.
Yeah, you know? I kind of agree. I don't think it's like you're clinging on to youthfulness at all with that choice.
Plenty of older dudes that have
Well, I think it has its spots, right? I think, you know, if you're riding gravity focused terrain instead of kind of like that rolling East Coast terrain, like for mullets are awesome.
100%. Like
really good for that. So
yeah,
it's just, I think it's more terrain specific and riding style specific more than like, you know, keeping up with the youngins, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like a Nomad is a Nomad mullet
they're
now?
All mullets.
They're all mullets.
5010 Bronson Nomad, all mullet.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. So that would be sick. Cause then you have a little more differentiation. Keep your tall boy four, get a Nomad, and then you have a sick long travel bike. I've seen how he rides.
He's gnarly. Stoked. So you asked the guys at Worldwide Cyclery and they just said to buy another bike. So now you have multiple bikes, huh, Ted?
She's cool. She'll understand.
Yeah. True. True.
You know, but yeah, that's my two cents. Would you agree?
I would agree. By the way, we got to know Ted because he came on he's been on Chasing Epic Trip with us as well.
Crested Butte, right?
First Crested Butte.
Crested Butte with his son. Italy.
And then he was on the Italy trip with us. And that Italy trip in the Dolomites, which was unbelievably epic and rad, Phil is putting that on again.
Our boy Phil.
That's right.
Good old Kiwi Phil.
Good old Phil.
This September, right?
Yes.
Anyways.
Similar dates. Maybe I'll put that in the show notes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Dolomite trip in the show notes. Dolomite Unfortunately, we will MTV not be there for trip. This one. We are only permitted one international trip every 10 years. Yeah. So we will not be there until
the bike industry climbs out of the gutter.
2033. Thank you, Liam. Yeah. So we'll see if we're still here. Still alive.
Yeah. But you and Trevor are going to Hurricane Utah
in March, a month.
April?
Yeah,
March,
in April. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
With Chasing Epic. And then...
You guys are going Monarch Crest, Salida, Colorado.
In July.
Is that one promoted yet?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There's only a few spots left for Monarch Crest. Utah's sold out. So a couple of banger trips.
Come ride Monarch Crest and Salida or Salida?
I think they say Salida.
Salida?
With I don't Jeff know, but that area is incredible.
Jeff and myself.
Yeah. I'm stoked. Yeah, we're going to go out there. Fun. We're going to go to the Revel HQ for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to cruise. I actually came up with a really good YouTube video idea.
Nice.
So, oh, yeah. Did
it's a bit comedic.
Oh.
It's a bit satire with Adam when he was here last. So we're going to film that at the Revel HQ.
Nice.
So I haven't told Louis about that yet, but he's going to love it.
Is Louis awesome. Coming
Are you
going to
film it?
I don't know. We haven't planned any of these.
So I'm filming it. Yeah. We're also going to drive my van.
Nice.
Someone's filming.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, hey, how about we get to this next listener question?
Yep.
Enough faffing. Hey, I'm Nolan. I race through the Oregon Nike League. I wanted some advice. I'm wanting to participate in a 12-hour XC race. It is a 12-mile loop. Any training advice / race technique? Also, I'm currently riding a Trek Marlin 8 that I'm soon to outgrow. Any 1 to 2K bike recommendations? Lastly, what's your opinion on pickle juice?
Wow, that's like six questions, Nolan.
Let's see.
Training advice and race technique.
Yes.
For a 12-hour race, I've never done one, but I would say go slow and finish fast.
Yeah.
Like go off way slower than you think because 12 hours is a long time to ride a bike.
Yeah, pace you can maintain all day.
Pace you can maintain for sure. I would also eat often and eat a lot.
Mm.
Don't mess up your nutrition.
And drink a ton of water. What do you say, like a bottle an hour at least?
Yeah.
Like,
bottle an hour. Eat a ton. Eat stuff that you know agrees with your stomach. So by training, I would work on eating a lot and finding out what food works for your stomach. So if that's peanut butter sandwiches, you know, one every 30 minutes for 12 hours, then that's what it is. But...
Wow.
Preparation. Yeah. Testing. I would just do a mock event. Just go find a 12-mile loop and then try and do a 12-hour ride on it and pretend it's race pace
and even
try and get your nutrition right first try, and it'll probably take you three tries. But then on your fourth try, it'll be the race, and you'll be glad you did all that testing.
There maybe not even 12 hours, but maybe 8 hours. That's a good like middle zone and doable.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
It's good.
He's in high school. He has plenty of 12-hour weekends where he has nothing to do.
He's also riding a Trek Marlin 8, soon outgrow. Anyone 2K bike recommendations? That's hard because it's always ever changing, but you're looking for a hardtail.
I mean, Pink Bike Buy Sell, you probably scoop a sick Pink deal bike, right
that's
now.
What I would say.
Pink Bike Buy Sell, but I think the Santa Cruz Chameleon Hardtail.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great bike.
It's a pretty sick one. Maybe a little bit more bike than you want, but. A
couple of really good hardtails for that price.
Yeah.
I think Kona has a hardtail for that
price range. Kona has a few.
Maybe Canyon.
Canyon might as well. Any direct-to-consumer bike brand will have a pretty darn good
True. Maybe Norco? I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you're really going for value, just be patient. Spend 4 to 6 weeks digging around Pink Bike Buy Sell, and you will come across a really good deal.
Just mass send an email to everybody lowballing them, and somebody will get back to you. They're desperate enough.
I'm just kidding. Don't do that.
And Nolan's last question is, what's your opinion on pickle juice? I think pickle juice is a Band-Aid when your nutrition didn't go right to begin with.
Yeah.
If you're cramping and you're in a bad spot, pickle juice has a ton of sodium and it'll help pull you out.
Yeah.
But the goal is to not have to use pickle juice. I mean, it's very expensive for, you know, a high schooler racing a 12-hour race, but Marten is incredible for this type of stuff.
For sure.
You know, their drink mix and their bars and their gels are extremely high carb and usually pretty good on, you know, I'd say the majority's stomach. So, I mean, that's if I was doing a 12-hour race, if I do any race, that's what I use. But
yeah, good call. I mean, if you've seen the Hot Wing race on YouTube, you know how some of us feel about pickle juice and how it mixes with milk and non-alcoholic beer. Isn't that right, Jeff?
Milk. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we actually did a low-budget film.
That's generous.
It was a low budget film where we had a mountain bike race where you had to eat hot wings and then do a loop. And then right before you ate the hot wings, you spun a wheel and the wheel would determine what drink you got to drink with your hot wings.
Yep.
And it was milk, water, pickle juice, or it was like all together or something.
Non-alcoholic beer as well.
Oh, non-alcoholic beer.
And then all of them together.
And then Death Cup. Yeah, it was all together.
Death Cup. Yeah, you just poured all of them in one thing. Surprisingly, a lot of people got that.
Right? Yeah. Like in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we might have waited the backside of that wheel a little bit.
It was a low, it was a low budget film, but it's worth watching if you want to watch some of our old
videos. That was a great video.
Fun fact, the hottest wing, we had to sign a waiver to take out of the store.
Carolina Reaper. Mm-hmm. So yeah, also a good part of that is the wings got increasingly hotter. Started with cayenne, ended at Carolina Reaper.
Yeah.
And that was, it was actually really hard.
Did you do it?
I did that, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was really hard to ride that loop after eating a Carolina Reaper wing because my eyes were tearing up and my mouth, it was hard.
The faster you went, the hotter your mouth was.
You just can't get, like that residual sting is there for a while. But
yep.
Anyways. How about we get to this last question?
Last one.
You are at the trailhead, kitted out in all your favorite kettle gear. All of a sudden, a heavenly host descends from the sky, lands directly in front of you, and asks, what trail and weather conditions would you like today? What are you responding with? Mine are 2 days post-rain, 47 degrees Fahrenheit, just the slightest hint of humidity, zero clouds. I'll fight anyone who disagrees. I'd obviously be in my long-sleeve kettle jersey and kettle shorts. Is this question worthy of a free jersey? I can agree with 2 days post-rain.
Yep.
And 47 is a little chilly for me. Maybe I'll take 55, and I would take no humidity, and I would take partly cloudy. And what trail?
I would also do all of that in Squamish
or Whistler. I was going to say Squamish or Whistler.
I would actually go up the temp to about 60 to 65 degrees.
Okay.
But partly cloudy.
Mm-hmm. And I would also be in my favorite kettle gear. Probably, I don't know. The Shenanigan pants are actually really good for riding in. I'm pretty stoked.
Been
on
liking
them.
Those?
Yeah,
I've been riding Shenanigan pants as well all winter.
And I just told my buddy to get some too.
Nice.
Yeah. We don't really have much to complain about because we've pretty much had 2 days post rain, 60 to 65 degrees, partly cloudy for about 3 months now.
I know.
It's been raining so much, and the mornings are a bit chilly. They're low 40s, but
yeah, we've been lucky, Jeff.
I would go 62 degrees overcast, 46% humidity.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
It feels nice. I like the humidity.
What?
Good for your skin.
46% is not that bad.
I feel like it isn't actually
that bad. You don't want zero. I should say that.
That's true. You don't want it to be too dry.
It'll be dried out.
But
like SpongeBob.
Remember when
it dries out? Most importantly, no wind.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No wind.
No wind.
Trail of choice.
Still
or zone of choice.
I'll go away with one of my options if that means I can have no wind.
No, you can have no wind.
I'm just saying that's how much I dislike wind.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'll take away one of my options.
For sure. Yeah, you got to pick a zone. It could be Breckenridge.
I would go 65 degrees in the, what's it called? I don't even know what it's called. The new vent.
Oh, the No Fry shirt.
No Fry long sleeve shirt.
Yeah, actually, so Kettle's best selling product is the No Fry Sun Hoodie, which is basically a hooded, ultra lightweight, breathable sort of UPF protective shirt. And we made them in just a short sleeve and long sleeve edition, which are killer things to wear as like a featherweight mountain bike jersey.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. I love it.
Good summertime stuff. I'd pick Breckenridge. If I'm not picking a bike park, and if I'm picking a bike park, I'd go Whistler.
There you go.
For yeah. sure. All right. Well,
there you have it.
Thank you very much. If you've listened this far.
Please leave us a review.
Please leave us a review. We really appreciate it.
If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a review. Please email it to podcast@worldlightsoccer.com. Screenshot your favorite podcast platform, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I think those are the only ones that really support reviews. And thank you very much for listening. We love you.
Love you.
This is the worst outro we've ever done. Thank you. Talk to you next time.
It's the best.
Peace.